Your blog is out once again. It is tremendous. I recommend it to hockey fans everywhere. It's on sportsnet.ca. And you start off this time with the expansion news or lack thereof. Explain for people that haven't read it. You got a bit of a gut feeling on this?
What, you mean someone's not read it? What is that?
In fairness,
some of us can't read.
Wi-Fi. Bad Wi-Fi.
You know, I just spent some time, you know, the non-announcement was on Tuesday, and I spent some time thinking about it Wednesday, like, what's really going on here? And I started to wonder why, after an announcement in June that they were going through with expansion and it was like full steam ahead, gung-ho, they suddenly put the brakes on it. And I do think they are worried about the effect of the Canadian dollar on Quebec City. You know, if you go back to June 1st, 2011, when Winnipeg got the team from Atlanta, they paid $170 million U.S., and that day the Canadian dollar was better than the U.S. dollar. It was $1.02. And now it's at 75 cents, and it's $500 million at least for a team. You know, Quebec City could end up paying four times what Winnipeg did in U.S. dollars. And I just think they look at that and they say, that's tough. And as much as I want to see Quebec City in the league, I don't want to see a Quebec City team that has the finances stacked against it the moment it gets in. And, you know, after I wrote that, guys, yesterday, I got an interesting call last night from someone in the league, and he thinks that what is also going on is they're looking at Arizona and they're not sure what the future is there and maybe another team or two. And he wonders if what's happening is they might wait until they know what the future of some of these franchises are, because what's the point of going to 32 if you have to move one of the previous 30?
Is it going to be any more definitive in the desert in a year or two? It just feels like it's kind of status quo.
Well, the one thing, Dean, is that they thought they had a five-year deal with Glendale, and then Glendale broke that agreement, and now it's a two-year deal. And they're going to try to get a downtown arena with the Suns, and I think the city of Phoenix is interested in doing it, but there's no guarantees. So it's sort of like you said, it lurches along. You don't really know what the future is going to be. We all know Bettman wants that team in Phoenix. He fights to keep teams where they are. But the fact is they just don't know if they have an answer. I think, and it's an easy move, right? Like if you have to move the Coyotes, it's easy to do it in Vegas. So that's kind of, I think, where they might be too now.
So I guess with the new lease with Glendale, that five-year losses triggering the ownership group allowing to be able to move, that doesn't even matter anymore, does it? And they were going to hit those numbers anyway.
They were, but now, like, the fact that Glendale pulled this fast one on them is even more of a concern, Ryan. Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden you're looking at a situation where you don't know if you have an arena in 2 years. And you're right, it's far bigger concern to them right now or at least as much of a concern right now as what the losses might be. You know, I always say this, there's some people in Glendale who work for the Coyotes who've really done a lot to try and make that team work, and I feel terrible for them, because it's like the saga just doesn't end. They can't get out of it. They can't escape.
I want to shift gears, go up to Edmonton. Everything's rosy up there. Everything's great. Last night, the defense didn't look good. The goalie didn't look good. And you're hearing that there might be an awkward scenario regarding the captaincy coming up.
Well, it's been something that's kind of been talked about for the past couple of since they got in there, and you know, they're, first of all, you know, Cam Talbot, you know, he's learning. It's a big difference between playing behind the New York Rangers and the Edmonton Oilers. So, you know, that's an adjustment he's going to have to make, and they're all going to have to make. And eventually, I think Todd McClellan will get them playing better. But, you know, it's kind of been talked about for a couple weeks now, and it sounds like the possibilities there could happen, and that is Andrew Ferentz could have the captaincy taken away. And it's not because he's a bad guy. I mean, if you saw what that Spider-Mabel thing this week, like what he helped do for that young girl was just beautiful stuff. But I remember a situation when I was a young reporter in Toronto where Chris King came to Toronto from Winnipeg. He was the captain in Winnipeg. They made him an assistant captain in Toronto. And, you know, he reached a point where he wasn't really playing anymore. and he had a conversation with Pat Quinn, and the two of them agreed that they should take the letter off his jersey. And it was a painful decision. It was hard, and I remember talking to Chris about it, and I talked to him about it the other day, but he recognized it was the right move for the team. And I kind of see Edmonton in that position right now. You know, they're trying to make trades. You know, Mark Spector talked yesterday on Twitter about how they were kind of talking, could they do a Bickle for Nikita deal with Chicago, Nikita Nikitin, but they couldn't get it done. And I think the reason that they're trying to do that is so that Ferentz or either goes somewhere else if he gets a trade, or so they don't have to sit him and be put in this awkward situation. But I do think there's a possibility that they take the C away, because you can't have your captain being a guy who's either your sixth defenseman or is in the press box a lot. And I think the key thing that Chris King mentioned that Ferentz has to realize is you can still be a leader. You can still approach your job the same way. There are still moments where you can have a defining role on the leadership of your team. It's just because it's so public, it's not an easy thing to go through.
I always wonder about the captaincy. Now, Warner, have you ever, because I know here in Calgary they switched captaincies, and there's been, I mean, in Vancouver they had to do the goalie thing. It seems to me sometimes it can be overblown, but I know whenever I've talked to Mike Rogers about it, he says, make no mistake, this is a big deal. Whoever is the captain of that team, whoever has the letter on their chest, it is a significant part of your dressing room.
I think so, because it, the buck stops there, right? If guys are showing up late or things are happening, he's supposed to be the guy that goes, no, no. And if he doesn't have the room or the faith of all the guys, then he can't do that.
What if, say, in Edmonton, everybody likes and respects Andrew Ferentz? Is it the fact that he's not playing or not playing much? Does it change?
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. You have to be a contributor. And when you aren't playing and you're kind of on the fence, you don't feel as engaged or involved, sure, important, whatever you want to call it, to go into a room and demand or dictate to make decisions or whatever it might be. You're not as confident walking into that room doing it.
So who's going to be the captain there, Elliot, if they take it off?
I might even think that what they might want to do, Ryan, is just put A's on guys and make somebody earn it. That's what I would do.
Yeah, is that an indictment of Taylor Hall a bit? I mean, is this not the guy that we thought at this point of his career would be a captain by now? He's had lots of opportunity to take that group, and they haven't done anything.
No, as a group, they haven't. You know, I've spent some time around Taylor Hall. I think he's a really well-meaning guy. Like, I do. He's a polarizing guy. Like, there's some opponents who really don't like him. But I don't know necessarily if that's the worst thing in the world. You know, I just think that he wants to win. He wants to do the right things. It's just been, they've gone so sideways in some of the things that have happened there. I think it's affected him as much as it's affected anybody else. When you have a complete changeover like that team has had, I think it gives you the opportunity to say to guys, okay, fresh start, we begin all new again here, but we want to learn who you are just as much as you want to learn who we are. So we're going with a bunch of A's and we'll figure out the captaincy later. I mean, the other thing you can do is you can just go with assistant captains for years if you think Connor McDavid's going to be the guy and eventually can give it to him. The one thing that it's funny, you know, as Rhett talks about, there's no sport in really the world where the captaincy means as much as it does in hockey. You know, baseball doesn't have them. Football, it's more of a ceremonial thing. You're there for the coin toss as much as anything else. I mean, soccer, the captain can be a pretty big deal. But in hockey, it's a really big deal. And there are some guys out there, and Mike Milbury is one of them, that he points out that because it's such a big deal, it's something that you can really get yourself in trouble with. And he thinks it's almost for bad reasons. Like, he doesn't think there should be captains anymore because all it ever does is get you in trouble. And I can see this situation with Edmonton being one of those kinds of things that Milbury is talking about. So you have to handle it properly, but I would almost look at it and say, don't make it a captain. You know, have a three assistant captains or rotate your assistant captains and see under a new regime who grows into the role.
What's a reasonable expectation for them this year? All the changes then, Edmonton.
I think the expectations, Ryan, for them are too high. Like people are talking about, oh, Connor McDavid's going to make them a playoff team. I think that's craziness. like the West is brutal. I mean, like there are a lot of I was talking about this with David Poole yesterday. There are a lot of good teams in this league, and the East is not, I don't think, as far behind the West anymore. I think the East has a lot of good teams in it too, and I look at the West and look. We all know LA is going to be better. Who's going to be worse? Like, who are they? Who's getting knocked out of the playoffs for them?
Vancouver.
Whoever the trendy pick is, Vancouver. There's no question about that. But like Edmonton was so far out of the playoffs last year. Do you see them making up all those points to get into the playoffs? I don't. I expect them to be better, but I think it's crazy to believe they're going to be a playoff team.
And I know before we let you go, just a couple of final thoughts. I know we all love the All-Star game and the All-Star weekend. You're hearing maybe testing some changes?
Yeah. Last year, like I thought the All-Star weekend last year was great, Dean, until the game. Like, I love the draft. Like, they gave those guys some beer or whatever they gave them, and it was hilarious. And I thought the skills competition last year was actually pretty good. But the game was a dud.
Yeah.
And one of the things they kind of talked about was, should instead of having a game, should they take all the guys who were there and have, like, a three-on-three tournament? And I didn't think that kind of went anywhere. And then I got a tip last weekend that the American Hockey League is considering doing that with its All-Star game this year. And they're considering it. They haven't decided. But as we all know, they do a lot of the things like the three-on-three overtime that the NHL eventually adopts. So that's one thing I'm very curious to see. Apparently they're going to talk about it a bit more in the near future, but it does sound like the AHL is going to consider that possibility.
I think that'd be cool. Team Taves, Team Crosby, Team Gaudreau. I mean, if there's 10 Way guys in a round robin, that'd be awesome.
Way better.
Yeah, I think it could be really good. I mean, I think it's very hard to convince players to go all out at the All-Star game, and for good reason. But I think you get a chance of something maybe a little bit more competitive with that. And plus, also, we're all looking forward to seeing three-on-three overtime this year anyway, once it really starts to matter. So at least it gives them a possibility of doing that. And skilled players like playing with skilled players, no question.
And I guess finally, are you hearing anything around training camps? Is there a notable veteran who's in tough to keep his spot? Or I guess just whatever you're hearing that would be interesting to our listeners.
Well, I think Vancouver's going to be an interesting one. Like, how young do the Canucks go? Do does Vertanen get his 9-game tryout? Does McCann get a 9-game tryout? Does Gaunce get a shot with them? I think that's going to be a pretty interesting one. You know, St. Louis is still carrying a few extra players. They've got some kids there, Robbie Fabry, and they've got some veterans, Scott Gomez and Scotty Upshaw, who are still there. I'm pretty curious about what that's going to be. You know, Winnipeg's still got Patan and Ehlers there. Are they going to start with the Jets? There's a few decisions like that. And I think there's a couple of other interesting ones, too. First of all, you know, you got Philly with 8 defensemen on one-way contracts. They'd love to get rid of one of them. You've got Montreal with Jared Tenorti, a player who I don't believe Mark Bergevin wants to put on waivers. So is he going to start the year with 8 defensemen, too? I think that's an interesting one because I do think teams have called Montreal and asked, you know, what exactly Bergevin is thinking there. So I think, you know, I don't think he's going to let it go on waivers. I think the Islanders have an extra forward. You know, Edmonton, as we mentioned, I think would love to move a D. Chicago's always looking to ease the salary. I don't know if we're going to see a lot, but there's definitely teams there with extra pieces that are trying to see if they can do something by the time rosters get finalized on Monday afternoon.
All right, fella. You hearing anything about our three-headed goalie situation here?
No, not, you know, the tough thing right now is, you know what, like Montreal, I think, is trying to move Dustin Tokarski too. And who's looking for goalies right
now?
Yeah,
I know.
Like Gustafson, I think he was dicey a bit for him in Boston there, but he's played not bad this week. That may have saved things for him, although he's on a PTO. They've got to sign him. I mean, the only teams I look at and saying they're looking for a goalie right now, you know, is San Jose interested in changing its backup situation? I don't know. And the other one I'll tell you was Buffalo. Like, Robin Lehner was really, he was not playing well, and he shut out Toronto on Tuesday, which kind of calmed everything down. If there's one team I'd be curious to see if they did anything goaltending-wise, like to get another guy in there. It might be Buffalo, but I'm not convinced they want to do it. You know, Tim Murray made a big play to get Leonard, and I think you want to make him comfortable and give him a chance to ease into that job as opposed to put somebody there who might challenge him.